Edward Delaney, 1786 to 1861. Edward, or as many knew him, Ned Delaney, was born enslaved on a plantation in Carroll County, Maryland, in 1786. The owner of the land, Daniel Delaney, sold young Ned to a man named Joseph Hayes Sr. in 1790. Ned was only 4 years old when taken from his mother and moved to the Hayes plantation. The only tie that remained to his life with his mother was the name of their enslaver, Delaney, which he would carry with him for the rest of his life. Joseph Hayes Sr. had purchased young Ned as a plaything for his eldest son, Tommy. Think for a minute about what that term implies. Plaything. A toy, a fascination, something to be played with and eventually discarded by the Hayes' eldest son. Again, at 4 years old, this was Ned's position. Ned's entire upbringing was spent with the Hayes. The crucial years in which he would learn of the world and become his own person were done away from his mother and in a household in which his explicit purpose was servitude. Ned is understood to have spent a great amount of time laboring within the Hayes family house. Stories passed down from the family history recount Ned as a key figure in many of the Hayes children's upbringing, playing a direct role in raising their 6 children. Ned was only 5 years older than the oldest Hayes child and 17 years older than the youngest. Denied his own sense of boyhood, Ned was forced to raise and take care of children his own age, of his own generation, facilitating their childhoods while being denied his own, all before he was an adult himself. Aside from caring for the family's children, Ned was forced to labor for the family as well. Throughout the War of 1812, he would regularly haul 100-pound sacks of flour from Carroll County to Baltimore. This journey was over 40 miles long, and upon reaching the city, he would drop off the flour and immediately have to turn around to begin the walk home, as there was no safe place for him to stay in the city. At the end of the war bond payments of Joseph Hayes Sr. and 3 other Carroll County farmers were stolen by the county paymaster. In a state of financial ruin, with the government positioned to reclaim the Hayes land, a question arose. What would happen to Ned? Common practice among slave owners at the time was to sell enslaved people down south when in financial hardship, a liquidation of assets in their mind. As an able-bodied 30-year-old man, Ned would have relieved a substantial portion of the family's debt had Joseph Sr. sold him on the auction block. However, instead of selling Ned down south, he sold him to his son, Joseph Jr., for only $5. Had he sold Ned down south, Joseph Sr. would have likely gotten thousands of dollars with which to repay his debts. But for whatever reason, be it Ned's role in raising his children, their reliance on his labor, or some other reason, Joseph Sr. forgoed paying his debts in order to keep Ned with the family. This was not a stroke of kindness, though. Ned was still enslaved and laboring in the Hayes family home, but this decision kept him out of much harsher conditions down south and with the Hayes family for the remainder of Joseph Sr.'s life. It is important and curious to note that Ned and the Hayes family ended up staying on the Carroll County land due to the influence of Francis Scott Key. Francis Scott Key was the son of a neighboring landowner and had served in the Revolutionary War with Joseph Sr. Key was a prominent figure in Washington, D.C. at the time and used his influence in Congress to secure the passage of a special act, an act that allowed the Hayes family to keep their land until Joseph Sr.'s death, upon which it was relinquished to the government. Due to this act, Ned remained enslaved in Maryland until Joseph Sr.'s death in 1850. The Hayes family by this point was being led by the 2 youngest siblings, Deborah, head of the house, and Joseph Jr., the legal owner of Ned. The 2 held a family meeting in which they decided to move out west in search of affordable land. In their planning, one important question emerged. What would be the fate of a now 64-year-old Ned Delaney? The family story, later published in newspaper accounts, states that they decided to leave this up to him. That when they asked Ned if he wanted to stay or leave, he simply replied, "I'll stick to Debbie," and prepared himself for the journey west. Ned had known Debbie her entire life. He was 17 when she was born and supposedly played a large role in caring for her as she grew up. As she reached adulthood, she remained unmarried and began keeping house in her father's home. She and Ned likely spent a great deal of time working together, tending to the house, and caring for Joseph Sr. as he aged. Through this, Ned and Deborah seem to have developed a shared sense of trust in one another, unique in nature compared to Ned's relationships with the rest of the Hayes family. This sense of at least trust, and at most maybe kindness or friendship, is likely a prominent reason for why Ned felt safe traveling the hundreds of miles with Deborah rather than staying and risking re-enslavement in the state of Maryland. Ned, along with 16 members of the Hayes family, packed up their belongings and set out for Illinois in 1852. En route, they traveled through Virginia and across the Ohio River, and on the other side of its waters, at age 66, Edward Delaney finally became legally free. Ned and the rest of the Hayes party reached Illinois but found the land to be too expensive, so they turned their sights further west to a newly established abolitionist town called Grinnell. Though Ned was by this point free, he decided to stay with Debbie when the Hayes moved again. They arrived in Grinnell with 9 other members of the party in 1854, the year of the town's founding, and are recorded as one of the first groups of people, aside from town founders, to settle in early Grinnell. Ned, among them, was the first black man to establish permanent residency here. Deborah Hayes used some money she saved to build a 2-frame house on the east side of Main and Fifth, right around where McNally's is today. This house became the chosen home of Ned for the remainder of his life. Not much is known of his life once he settled in Grinnell. The 1860 census lists Ned as a servant in Deborah's home on Main Street. Other accounts, largely from the Hayes family themselves, place him in declining health, living under the care of Deborah. Edward Ned Delaney died at the age of 75 in 1861 from a number of health conditions. Upon his death, he was buried beneath a shady tree in the plot of the family that both enslaved him at age 4 and helped him achieve freedom 60 years later. His companion, Deborah, stuck to him in death as he did to her in life, joining him in the Hayes plot in 1887, her headstone next to his. Though Ned passed away before the arrival of the Renfros, his story is the first in what is now a legacy of black towns members of early Grinnell who chose and worked to make this town their home, who found and forged lasting community here. More of them are highlighted on this tour. Now, 162 years after his death, Edward Delaney's grave marker has outlasted the shady tree under which it was first installed. The engraved words of freed slave are now only decipherable by tracing a finger over the worn limestone. It is a worn but present and important marking of the extraordinary life of a man who traveled 952 miles to Grinnell at the age of 68 after a long life of enslavement to make Grinnell his home as a free man. The first black Grinnellian, Edward Delaney.